Welcome back, Poor Sports fans. Oh, man, we took a week off. It feels so good to be back. Poor Sports back, episode 10. It's your host, Jake Kelly. I'm live in studio with the other Poor Sports boys. We got Jeremy and we got Leaf. Gentlemen, say what's up to the people.
What's up? I am so glad to be back here. Episode 10.
10. Lee, talk to the people.
Yeah, always good to be back in the studio. I love it when we're in the studio compared to on the phone. It just sucks being on the phone.
Yeah, hey, we don't got to worry about that today. So, yeah, so people, welcome back. Yeah, we took last week off, but we're back now. And, man, am I ever happy to be back. Boys, we're gonna talk some football to start off with, and we're going to start with Antonio Brown. Before I'm going to let you guys in, I got something to get off my chest. Because Antonio Brown, in my opinion, on the football field is a Hall of Fame player.
Yep, I agree.
No questions asked.
Yeah. Off the football field, you know what he is?
Hey, Jake, where'd you go to school?
I don't care.
Central Michigan.
I don't care.
Central Michigan.
No one cares. Come on, you know why? You know why? Because he is a first ballot Hall of Fame clown. First ballot Hall of Fame clown. Hall of Fame clown. Excuse me.
I'm just
tired of his antics, the blonde mustache, and the look at me, and the just get on the field and play some football, because that's whenever people like you. But people in Pittsburgh are so happy that you're gone. People in Oakland, people are wondering if Oakland paid too much by giving up a third and a fifth for Antonio Brown. That was nothing.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh got laughed at.
Everyone's saying, how come they didn't get a first, a second?
Yeah.
GMs talk.
Yeah, and they know getting Antonio Brown, while the talent is amazing on the field, will he even get on the field?
It ruins locker rooms, it appears.
Ruins locker rooms, and, you know, it seems like he might be a touch uncoachable. He can't play, and he shows up in a hot air balloon. It just, to me, it's Antonio Brown's, you know, show, and we're just living in it, and it's, I don't know, I'm sick of it.
So Jake's taken a complete 180 here in the 2 weeks since we've last recorded, because he say everyone's trying to get him to look at me, I'm Antonio Brown, and he was just trying to have all the eyes on him, and it was to get, like, maybe some Hard Knocks press coverage. Now you're thinking the guy's just a straight-up lunatic?
Correct. I thought at first that he was doing it for Hard Knocks and for the hype, and maybe HBO or NFL Films. There was a little bit, you know, of showmanship to it, of scriptedness and TV. I don't know at this point now, because now that the GM's in, and maybe I could be wrong. I could just be drinking the Kool-Aid, and this is all just good TV. He was never going to be able to get on the field because of his feet, and so they just said, let's mix this in and give the people something to talk about, and that could be a thing.
You definitely gotta think the big winners of this week are Hard Knocks. Like, Hard Knocks is just, like, rolling over. Like, what a great choice for the Raiders.
But if it wasn't the Raiders, it was going to be another wide receiver on another team that we would have all been saying, like, oh, this guy's an idiot as well. If it was the Dolphins, we could be maybe saying that about whoever. Maybe it's Preston Williams, who's showing up as an undrafted free agent, and he's doing great. But maybe with all the cameras on him now, he'd be doing everything Antonio Brown's doing.
I don't know. But Antonio Brown's just known for that. That's the thing. Like, even starting out in Pittsburgh, like when he sat out week 17.
Yeah. When he was videotaping coaches' speeches and stuff in the locker room and stuff.
And apparently he's on his phone and stuff during team meetings right now with Oakland. So, I don't know. I think it was interesting that their GM came out and said, you're either all in or all out, because, like, enough.
On
enough
a team is enough. Where they got their GM from the NFL Network, they have John Gruden as their head coach.
Yeah.
That's a former Al Davis owned team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Antonio Brown's the one that's the craziest.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'll ask you boys this right now. Now, I always bring it back to fantasy, like we always do. Fantasy right now, if you were drafting tomorrow, Dynasty League, where do you take Antonio Brown? What round?
How old is Antonio Brown?
He's 28 or 29, I believe.
Yeah.
I take him into the second.
I don't know.
He was wide receiver one or two, depending. Two or three?
Last year, Antonio Brown.
Because he led the league in touchdowns. He had 15, which that's obviously going to come back. But, like,
yeah,
he's super talented.
Yeah, especially with who's throwing on the
Actually,
ball.
Actually, I saw a stat that 10 of Ben Roethlisberger's 18 picks last year were thrown to Antonio Brown. That tells me either two things. One, you know,
he was trying to put up with a malcontent Antonio Brown says, throw me the ball.
Throw
Sometimes
me the ball.
You just have to.
Or I can't handle it emotionally, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right, just a drama, a diva, right? Or two, maybe Ben was just, you know, going for the home run ball. Maybe too often than he should have, and maybe a bit of both. But I found that to be really interesting. To answer your question, Lean, I think if he's on the board in the second round, I'm taking him.
So anywhere in the second round, though?
Yeah, probably. He's man. He's that's guaranteed points at a.
So Jake, with you having your in our little dynasty league,
yep.
You have three wide receivers that are your big receivers: T.Y. Hilton and the two Rams receivers. Would you trade two of the three of them for Antonio Brown? Any two you want?
Yeah. I would. I would probably trade Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods for Antonio Brown.
I think that's ludicrous, dude.
Yeah,
that's Derek Carr throwing the ball compared to Jared Goff. I think that's second to none.
Jared Goff's had one good year.
Yeah, but under Sean McVay, who's just going to continually be good.
Sure. Yeah, but I think
Look at Amari Cooper under Derek Carr.
Derek Carr's had one good season too, right?
Yeah, and Derek Carr was an MVP candidate.
Yeah, so. 2 years ago, and then look what it last year. I'm
so,
pretty sure.
Yeah, so that's what we're saying. Jared Goff could fall off this year.
Yeah,
but I just think it's a difference of coach. So you're saying, but you would take two of your wide receivers, the Rams wide receivers, and trade them for Antonio Brown.
I think if you're getting the best player in a deal, I think sometimes you have to do that, especially in a dynasty league. Especially in a dynasty league, if you can get the best player in the deal.
Okay, let's continue. And like this is like maybe a little bit behind the scenes, so like you might not care too much about this. But Jake also made another deal where he sent out a player. Like the rest of the deal doesn't really matter. But he sent out Josh Gordon. And so we're going to try and move from a feel-bad story to a feel-good story.
Sure.
Josh Gordon got reinstated by the NFL conditionally. So they're saying he's served his time because he missed all the Pats playoff games and a couple regular season games. So,
did he get a ring? He would have gotten a ring,
yeah,
right?
He did get a ring. So he's going for his second Super Bowl in 2 years this year as part of the New England Patriots. And like everyone thought, that wide receiver core isn't looking too great coming off of last year, especially after losing Gronk. Well,
not and N'Keal Harry struggled in preseason.
So
rookie.
Now they have N'Keal Harry. They have Julian Edelman. They have Jacoby Myers, who's showing out in preseason.
Demaryius Thomas is
Demaryius
there.
Demaryius Thomas is
there. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And now Josh Gordon.
And then they picked up that tight end, too, who's actually looked pretty good, too. He's flown up draft boards. I'm trying to...
Matt Lacoste?
Yeah, that's who it is.
They went from, like, a bottom 10 receiving core to, I think, like, a top 5, top 10, especially because they still have James White, too.
Yep. I think Josh Gordon's going to have a hell of a year. I really do. I think he is so talented, and sure, you can name all those guys that you can name, but man, like Josh Gordon, we all know Josh Gordon and what he does when he's on the field. Every time he's ever been on the field and healthy, he puts up touchdowns. Like, touchdowns.
He's a bigger Tyreek Hill. It's not as good of a route runner, but like...
It's so, no fluke, so...
As we always do, Josh Gordon, currently ranked what in fantasy football? If you were to draft him, at what ADP is he? Let's hear your guys' guess.
I have no idea.
I'm not going to say that because, like, right now, like, the news is still relatively new, so, like, it's not the proper ranking.
He's very high up there.
I have him as, like, my between wide receiver 30 and 35 on the year.
Okay, so I can go by – okay, let me switch it up to wide receiver. What do you think on wide receiver you would rank him? If you just ball – I know it's hard, but just ballpark.
Yeah, ballpark. I'd put him between 20 and 30.
So, as of right now, fantasy pros who, like, combined, like – I think it's like 97 experts. They have Josh Gordon at wide receiver 40.
Yeah, I think that's a little too low.
I think so too.
How many of those guys are out of those 97? How many of those guys like counting on a relapse?
That's just it.
Because like
that's just it.
Yeah, makes sense.
He very rarely has finished seasons.
That's just it. he's phenomenal when he is on the field.
That's why I'm super all right with having him on my team because I don't have. It's not the Julio Jones like. And I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying. But, like, Julio Jones, you never know if he's hurt or not. He's going to play, but, like, he might just be, like...
All of a sudden, like, 6 weeks later, he's like, yeah, I was dealing with a bad back weeks, like, 2 to 4.
Josh Gordon, he's either in the lineup, and you can put him in your lineup, or he's out. And you don't have to worry about, do I start him or do I sit him?
And the dangerous thing with Josh Gordon, though, to just playing for the Patriots, is that they are so game plan oriented that, you know, and we've all seen it. We've all probably been victim to it before. That you have a guy on the Patriots and they just don't throw the ball that entire game, whether you have Tom Brady or whether you have one of his receivers. And they just don't throw the ball and they just pound the rock, and they win the game. And, you know, it's never really in doubt, but your star fantasy receiver gets you 7 points.
You're pretty much just
points.
Screaming on, like, third and nine. He's like, throw the ball!
Yeah, but they're going to just pound the rock. Yeah, they're not going to. So, speaking of pounding the rock and maybe not doing
He got married. Are you going to talk about his wife?
Who?
The Rock got married. He said pounding the Rock.
Nice. I was going to talk about how Ezekiel Elliott's been doing none of that because he is still not in camp.
Who? Zeke who?
So yeah, Jerry Jones came out and said if you were living under a rock and missed this, Jerry Jones came out and said that after a game, he went, Zeke who? Because who's their filling
in? Tony Pollard? Pollard?
Pollard? Yeah.
Pollard, okay. Yeah. Came out and had a really good game, and I was actually reading up about how they were saying the better this guy plays, the more leverage the Cowboys have. So does he play in week one? Jeremy, what do you think?
Bold prediction. He'll be there.
You think he'll be there week one?
100%.
Lee, what do you think?
No, I don't think so.
I also don't think so.
I think we maybe see him week two, maybe week three.
If he's not there week one.
He's not there for.
No, he's going to miss the first three games because they have a pretty easy schedule to start the year. And after three games, it's going to have gone one or two ways. Either Jerry Jones has won that arm wrestle and is saying, we're winning without you.
Don't need you.
Don't need you.
3-0, 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can't beat, I think it's the Dolphins and the Giants and someone else.
Yeah.
If you can't beat them.
All of a sudden on the goal line, Pollard fumbles the ball.
Yeah.
Zeke's like sitting there, like just hands up like
yeah,
this.
He's out in Cabo watching on the TV.
He came back. He's going to be front row in the end zone, I bet.
I would love it.
In a Giants jersey. Because he fumbles the ball. Just
A Saquon jersey.
Yeah.
He's going to be in one of those Salvation Army bins and just pop his head out like a whack-a-mole.
That'd be awesome. So you guys say no. I say yeah. I still think the running back that's going to be sitting out is Melvin Gordon.
I don't think it's even close. They're so far off from each other. He's asked for a trade, so unless he gets unless he gets traded, the Chargers have never paid anyone. That's the thing with the Chargers. They let Vincent Jackson go when he wanted to get paid. If you want a big contract in LA, see you later.
Go to the Rams.
Yeah, go to the Rams.
Which hurts the Chargers, yeah. All right, boys. Well, we're going to wrap that one up. Oh, I love talking football.
What about Dak Prescott, though?
Yeah.
You're right. Let's talk about Dak Prescott here.
We almost let that one slip.
Woo! Money, money, money. Dak Prescott purportedly turned down $30 because he wants $40 million.
Who's crazier, Antonio Brown on his pursuit of a helmet or Dak Prescott on his pursuit of a $40 million deal?
Antonio Brown.
That definitely obviously makes him the most paid quarterback, right? But is it even close?
Wilson's at 35.
Wow.
He's not better than Russell Wilson.
No. I don't think Dak Prescott's ever going to win a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback.
He would have to get
need a running back, which they don't have.
He would have to get carried there. He would have to be the ultimate game manager.
So
right?
It's funny that you say that because I think his biggest comparable is Alex Smith.
Oh, interesting.
He had the good year under Andy Reid before they transitioned to Pat Mahomes, and I believe he made the Super Bowl once. But
He never threw the ball deep. He could run for first downs as much as people don't think.
He didn't make the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick made that Super Bowl, right?
I thought Alex Smith got there.
No, I'm pretty sure that Colin. Well, I know for a fact Colin Kaepernick played in that Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure Kaepernick took over at the end of the year. It was Alex Smith's team, and then Kaepernick came in. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
Hey, I'm taking your word for that.
Yeah. No. But anyways, yeah, Dak Prescott, he's out of his mind. I don't get where he's – I don't know what he's talking about. Is he saying $40 million so that it
– So when he signs 35, fans are we made a good deal. It's like what Mitch Marner's doing with the Leafs. If he asks for 11 and he sells for 9.5,
fans are
going to be happy.
The negotiation.
So Alex Smith made an NFC championship game.
Yes. And then the next year they got back, but they got there with Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Dak is on about, and there's no way they're going to give him $40 million. They can't.
Even with the CBA this year, right?
Is that Dak saying that he just doesn't want to be in Dallas by asking for that much money?
Dak, because Dak was a third or a fifth round pick. He was pay me for what I did. Pay me for what I did and what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Because but then if I'm the Cowboys. I just made a rookie quarterback. I drafted a rookie quarterback late in the draft and was able to pay the rest of my team.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just go do that again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Because Dak hasn't had games where he single-handedly won them the game.
No, he just keeps them in games.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose them games. Like, you never look at Dak Prescott and be like, wow, he's the reason they lost.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
Just because he's like one of those guys that's like 11 for 14 for like 215 yards.
Yes.
And like 60 rushing yards.
Yeah. Not worth $40 million. But anyways, we'll wrap up there. Stay with us. We got a two-minute drill coming up next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports. Poor Sports. Lee Kuzmich coming at you with my bet of the week. I'm going to the real football starting right now. No, I'm not talking NFL. College football is back. The regular season is back. And they're kicking off with a good one. They got the Florida Gators kicking off against the Miami, University of Miami. Fly the U. But I'm not going there. I'm going Florida, -7.5. And I'm taking Florida on the money line. And then if you want a little late night action, a little 1 o'clock in the morning action when it starts, take Arizona -11 against Hawaii. Hawaii's not that good of a team this year. You can take a money line too. So Florida -7.5 and Hawaii to lose by more than 11.
All right, poor sports fans, welcome back. It is time for the two-minute drill. So how this works is we talk for about 2 minutes on various different sports topics and just kind of kick it and move on real quick. So first, we're going to start off with Lee. You posted on our Instagram at poor_sports, you posted that you wanted to see this little leaguer who was bent down in sort of a crouch position while they were batting. You said that you wanted to see them plunked. And I'm going to start here. I'm going to say something. I am so sick and tired of hearing and seeing baseball purists and how, oh, they're breaking the unwritten rules of baseball. That's not how the game's supposed to be played. Oh, the shift is bad for baseball. We got to plunk it. Shut up. It's enough.
When you were doing that impersonation there, Jake, who are you trying to impersonate? Because I know when I'm doing an impersonation, I'm always trying to, like...
Honestly, I was just trying to impersonate old white guys who are stuck in the 50s. And it just annoys me. So all I'm saying is, yeah, the kid, for people who didn't see this, we'll post this, or maybe post it again. The kid was, like, knelt down or to create a smaller strike zone. That's called being smart.
Gamesmanship.
That's called being smart. If you don't like that, then go curl, where the rules are very specified. My goodness.
Okay, so quickly, yeah. So the big thing that you probably didn't actually even watch the video here is that that doesn't create a smaller strike zone if the umpire feels like you're doing that on purpose. That's just how the rules are. So then at that point, he has to adjust to where you should be, where it's knees to letters. So no matter what, whatever he was doing, if you would have watched literally the first pitch, Jake, actually, that's all you had to do is just watch the video for the first pitch, which clearly now is showing that you didn't. First pitch, probably at the guy's head where he was kneeling down, strike one. So I don't know, all of a sudden, now you're asking this kid to hit from a crouch position? That's stupid. At that point,
Why?
If I was a pitcher, I'd almost like that. You can kind of just toss her in there.
Yeah,
and the
so then... Exactly. Why
but,
are you?
But regardless,
trying to
you said like, yeah. So I said plunk it because I'm a purist and I just see that and I want to hit the kid. That's just me. But
did you just say that you want to hit kids?
I want to plunk the kid like playing baseball. But regardless, your argument that you said on it of it's a strategy, it's gamesmanship. Like he struck out on the at bat.
Okay, so then why would you want to hit him?
Yeah, he did.
I thought he bunted at the very next pitch.
I'm pretty sure I saw him.
Even so, why would you want to plunk the kid if it's literally just his batting stance?
But
it's just his batting stance. Why would you want to plunk a kid for having a different batting stance? So you're saying that if something's different, we need to just literally use violence to get it out of the game?
No.
That's what you're saying?
No.
That.
So.
Really? Jeremy, yes.
I'm just reading here on the Fox News, which isn't the greatest news source, but they said on, because he started out in the crouch stance, and then
he goes to a normal stance?
And then he goes to a normal stance.
So then
he went to a normal stance the very next
pitch. Watch the video one time, Jake.
I'm asking, why did you want to
play? See, now you're just picking one point because you know your initial point that you argued was wrong. Let's go back to the point where you argued.
I said I hate baseball purists for wanting to plunk people for doing something different.
Yeah, like, the plunking thing just in general is, like, wrong.
Give me a break.
No, I won't give you a break.
Anyways, we're going to move on here. If you're a baseball purist, grow up. Anyway, speaking of someone who's clearly not a baseball purist, Bill Walton went and called a Chicago White Sox Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
0-2 on the Angels on this podcast.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, they're a game. And clearly Bill Walton is a basketball player. And when I say clearly he's a basketball player, I don't expect you to know that. I mean, just whenever you would listen to this, it's pathetic. He goes on, he has no clue what he's talking about. Jeremy, you saw this. Why don't you talk about it a little bit?
So he was talking about how after, I think the White Sox got one run, print the banners. The White Sox are going to be World Series champions again. Their record's like,
they're like 10 games
under 500 or something.
Yeah, they're not even going to make it.
It's pretty nuts. And like, I've like actually, Bill Walton's been sitting where Jake has sat right there while I've been in studio with him, and he's like a really good guy. But like, he was not prepped at all. Like his people have to help him out there because he had not a clue, and it wasn't like it was cringy to watch.
Yeah, and for people who don't know who Bill Walton is, the easiest way I can tell you just from this year is the fact that he was the guy who ate the cupcake that was on fire when he was out west doing the college basketball, which clearly neither of you guys saw that. It was like one of the most trending things. There was a cupcake that was on fire, and they gave it to him because it's Bill Walton's birthday, and Bill Walton proceeded to eat the entire cupcake with the lit on fire candle.
I just don't like that you said, for those of you who don't know who Bill Walton is, he has 10 NBA championships.
I'm just saying there's people who aren't NBA people here.
Yeah, fair enough. He's a legend.
But he's a legend.
Bill Walton doesn't have speaking 10 NBA of legends.
Who has 10? I think
Bill Russell.
Oh man, there's a facepalm in the studio. Man.
Okay,
speaking of legends, go on, Jake. Introduce the next one.
We're gonna move on real quick here. The Rays, Lee's Tampa Bay Rays.
What?
Struck out 24 batters.
24?
Lee, talk about this.
Okay, so there's a big asterisk beside this, and the only reason is because we're playing the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, fair enough.
Who are debatably the Toledo Mudheads, the AAA team.
Sure.
But we went to 12 innings here. We ended up winning on a walk-off, and I'm saying we because I am a part of the team. You've been with this team this long, you're allowed to say that. And what happens is when you strike out 24 guys, walk zero guys against the Tigers, that's pretty much all you can ask for when there's only 797 people on the stands for that day.
How many were there?
No, it just looks like it. It was us three and our friends and family.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I was overshooting it, actually. That's my bad.
Just a quick point. I knew Bill Walton had something about his championships that I've like picked out in my brain. It's that he won like 2 high school championships, 2 college championships, and 2 NBA championships.
Which okay.
Kind of almost neat. Near 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go with that. I can't believe that you wanted to double back to that. Like, I was just going to let it go. But
no. I needed to...
Well, here, we're going to talk about something you definitely know something about. Okay?
You're going out on a limb here.
We're going to give you a softball here, okay? The Canucks extended Jim Benning. You didn't like this. Talk to me.
Yeah, GMJB. So this year, Tampa Bay is now licking their lips, hoping... Vancouver just misses the playoffs this year, so then the pick that they got in the JT Miller trade becomes unprotected the year after because Vancouver has the ability to be very bad very quickly. They have a couple really nice young players, but their goalie isn't very good. Mm-hmm. The defense isn't fantastic. The forward depth isn't there.
They got goalie depth, though. Like, you have guys coming up.
Every team should have goalie depth, but they don't have like the guy that they're going to play for 60 games and can count on.
DiPietro? You don't think so?
Not right away.
No, you're right.
So I think
he looked good last year when he came up for a couple games.
Jim Benning's a great scout.
Yep.
But like, we've seen time after. That doesn't mean you're a good GM.
Correct.
He gets swindled in trades, gets swindled in contract. Like, he's just not a good general manager, in my opinion.
So, and what did they extend him for? 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah, so if you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, you got to be scratching.
This is a big 3 years, but I feel like this is a big 3 years. You got to show yourself here or else you're done. Like, now your job's on the line 3 years.
And I think that, like, if he gets through it, then you're going to be extended. But, like, this is like a thing where the Leafs, when they had JFJ, John Ferguson Jr., he did such a poor job with the Leafs, he never got another shot again.
Yeah.
And that's something hard to do in the NHL, where they just recycle everyone. It's an old boys club.
Yeah, it's an old boys club. Over and over again.
So Jim Benning, hopefully you turn the thing around, because I don't think you're getting a second gig if this goes how it looks like it's going to go.
Have fun scouting the OHL.
Yeah. Moving on. Dwight Howard. It's looking like he might go to the Los Angeles Lakers. This is in light of DeMarcus Cousins, unfortunately, going down, tearing his ACL. Probably out for the entire season. If he's back, it'll be back late, and who knows what condition he'll be in.
I think Cousins never plays a game in the NBA again.
I think you're wrong there. We won't get too much into that right now, but he has probably cost himself $200 million he didn't take the contract that New Orleans offered him, and then he had to kind of go and take that contract with Golden State and so on and so forth. That's just bad luck, and don't want to talk about that too much right now, just because I think that the Dwight Howard, if he goes to the Lakers, I think is actually a really interesting pickup. Dwight Howard, for all the hassle and the jokes and what have you about him, he's been on four teams in 4 years. This will be 5-5 if he does go to the Lakers. I guess, whatever.
5-4 or whatever.
Yeah, but it'd be five different stints. He still put up good numbers everywhere he was. He still put up good numbers. The 1 year, I think 2 years ago with Charlotte, he put up like 16 points and 12 rebounds or something like that.
He can be a very good player, and I think he's even said as much from when his previous stint in LA with Kobe. He said, I've matured a lot. That isn't the player who I am now today.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have acted the way I did.
And I think Kobe also, you have to look at a couple things. Kobe then was so like almost neurotic and how crazy about winning he was. That, you know, he was Kobe's way or the highway, clearly, right?
And, so you don't think LeBron's going to be the similar?
I think LeBron's similar in that way, but I don't think LeBron has that craziness in his eyes that Kobe had. And I think, and you get what I mean, right? That persona. And also, like, I just think, like, LeBron knows how to navigate that a bit more. LeBron's won a championship with J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Let's remember that. And also the fact that Dwight's gotten older, and Dwight, at that point, was the man. Coming from Orlando, was the man, was coming off all defensive teams,
dunk contests,
all that stuff, right? Was in MVP voting, all that stuff. And then he got a real reality check, right? Bouncing around Houston, Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington. And now he's like
still
in the league, essentially.
Over 1,000 games played in the NBA.
Yeah.
Still averaging, even with these rough couple things, 17.4 points per game, right? Blocks, still averaging in his career 2.9 blocks a game. Like, it's
he's
not
a Hall
bad.
Of Famer.
He's an undoubted Hall of Famer. And whenever you say it if I was to start the segment and say undoubted Hall of Famer Dwight Howard is looking like he might sign with the Lakers, everyone would go, whoa! But then when you kind of talk about it,
you
a
start
bit
talking
more,
about the numbers. Yeah, I went and looked it up because I was going to say this is a terrible signing. Like, what's this guy done? And just look at us, like at the things. This could be good.
What were his stats? And then we'll wrap it up. What were his stats with Charlotte? The last that was the last full season he played.
Yeah, 81 games. So he played. He averaged 30 minutes. He averaged his points per game was 16. He had 1.6 blocks per game, 1.3 assists. Any other stats? One you want to jump out?
Rebounds.
Oh, that would probably be a good one too. 9.3 defensive rebounds and 3.1 offensive rebounds.
So 12.
That was probably top of the league in offensive boards.
16 and 12. So, and that's the last full season he played, which was only 2 years ago. So if you can get over that stuff, I don't know. It'll be a good.
Does he start?
I think so. I think so on for the team, Lakers. Yeah. I think that'd be an sort of a signing that everyone goes, wow, that, you know, and you know.
That goes one of two ways, I think, right? Yeah, like it's a straight one of two ways. Either it doesn't work out, part two, Dwight Howard, or we go again.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, moving on from someone who was hurt last year to a team that seems to be consistently banged up, the Washington Redskins. Jeremy, you were talking a lot about this. Walk us through what's going on with this team.
They have two quarterbacks hurt right now in Alex Smith and
Colt
McCoy, who I didn't even know how Colt McCoy got that job last year.
Good. Legend, Colt McCoy.
College football legend. Not NFL. Legend. They had injuries, and supposedly Colt McCoy was rushed back from one of his injuries and then proceeded to get injured again. And then Sua Cravens, I might be messing that name up.
He got a shot at it.
He was a pick from the team a couple years ago, and he never ended up reporting to the team because he was so worried about the medical staff. And now Trent Williams, who's like arguably a top five left tackle in the league, has demanded that they fire their entire medical staff or he's not coming to play. And that's like probably their best player on the team.
Easily their best player. And then protecting the blind side.
Yeah, and then Darius Geis, he also is over a year since he tore his ACL, and he isn't back. That medical staff is in shambles.
So my question to that, is it really the medical staff? Is it really the MDs that are doing bad? Are they just bad MDs? Or is it the fact that Dan Snyder's just running these MDs and saying, I don't care, just get these guys back onto the field as fast as possible? Lee, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so I actually agree with what you're saying with Dan Snyder. And just because, do you guys not remember when they had RG3? When they had RG3 and it was the playoff game? And RG3 kept rolling his ankle brutally. Yeah. And Dan Snyder was on the sidelines for that game. And he kept, like, going to the coach. And RG3 just trots right back out. Rolls his ankle again. And he just kept doing it. He did it, like, four times. It's one of the most it's easily one of the grossest things I've ever watched. And I'm with you on the Dan Snyder. But I think regardless, maybe everybody's got to go. Medical and Dan Snyder.
We all know Dan Snyder's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. And... yeah, I don't know. And again, one more thing about people being hurt. Vladimir Guerrero is he's hurt right now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., certainly, of course. I wonder, will we ever have to stop saying Jr. To distinguish, or do you think eventually he's going to be such a name that we don't have to?
Maybe it'll be like Ken Griffey when we just call him Jr.
That'd be cool. Anyways, he's hurt. He's out right now, and there's speculation that they might keep him out for maybe longer just to be safe.
Because why not? You're not in anything important. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year. He's not... You're not going to the playoffs.
The Jays aren't playing any meaningful games anymore.
Certainly no.
So I think it's best to keep them out. And
You have other guys that are coming in right now, right? Like that are filling that like huge name, Bichette, right? Like
you kind of know what you got in Vlad. So
yeah, but I don't know. If I'm Vlad, I want to play like these games. These are how I like. These are when I get some cheap home runs. I mean, if I'm Vlad, I have some pretty big career aspirations, and if I can tack on 20 home runs, or you know what I mean,
I
can hit 20 more dingers. But
I think he might be a little bit smarter on longevity, right? Yeah. Like he doesn't want to rush himself back. The MLB is such a grueling season.
I get it, but I mean, if he's healthy, I think if I was him, I'd want to play because, like, I'm thinking, geez, I can rack up maybe you know another 30 RBIs here, and boom, like you know that all adds on to the statistical total. I don't know.
Anything to play with years in control, Jeremy? You're a huge years in control.
Yeah, I'm a huge years in control. Not as big as Shapiro and Atkins, but kind of my thing. But I don't think that matters at all now that he's played however many games and started and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So I think you sit him, but...
Well, if you sit him, it's a big punch to the face for Blue Jays fans. And speaking of punches to the face,
ooh.
Conor McGregor...
On fire.
Conor McGregor, in a viral video, I think this actually happened a little while ago, but it's just gone viral now. TMZ Sports got a hold of it. He was lining up shots of his own personal whiskey, and some old guy at a bar in Dublin, some old guy was like, "Nah, I don't want this," and who knows what was said, but then Conor McGregor reaches out and catches him with a left hook. Boys, what do we think about that?
I think Conor McGregor is completely in the wrong for two reasons. A, you just don't go starting bar fights, especially if you're a celebrity of his level. And B, have you guys tried that stuff? It's not good. So I don't blame the guy for not drinking it.
That's pretty funny.
I just feel like Conor McGregor is just going down and down and down. I feel like he's just like slowly but surely like...
He's created way more money for himself with his mouth than his fists.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying like now, the UFC is, like, already debatably doesn't want anything to do with them, right, and that type of stuff. And I just feel like all of a sudden if you become this big of a press nightmare, it's going to hurt you down the long run now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. I just think it's always a bad look to punch an old guy. Like, the guy was, like, at least in his, like, late 60s, it looked like from the video, at least.
That was one of those things
where he wasn't in his late 60s. That's just what you look like when you're 35 in Ireland.
I was just going to say, do you think like he's one of those things where he just punched him and like looks like no camera, it looked up.
Oh crap. Moving on. Canadian tennis star Bianca Andreescu.
I think this might be the first time poor sports ever. Tennis.
Tennis, Oh, we talked about it a bit one time.
Yeah, the was it Nadal and Federer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. Djokovic after the Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And she beat Serena Williams. Serena Williams
who was it
to
against
retire.
I don't know if you got through it.
The who?
The Canadian.
Bianca Andreescu.
I thought I cut you off accidentally before you said that.
No, he knows how to say it.
No, all good. She beat Serena Williams in the Canadian Open. Serena had to retire, unfortunately, due to injury. But I think it's still pretty cool that a Canadian tennis player won the Canadian Open. Guys, what do you think?
So that's like one of the most fun events to go to in Canadian sports throughout the year, which is like super cool. But especially having a Canadian girl in the final for the first time in 50 years and the first time Canadian girls won it the first time in 50 years, that ticket was expensive.
Yeah.
And people got to see...
It was in Toronto. How much was it?
People got to see... I don't know the exact dollar figure, but I know the prices jumped with all the scalpers and everything. And they were only treated to an hour of tennis and like would didn't even end up being a full match. So that's kind of like disappointing.
That is disappointing.
Good for her for winning. Like...
Kind of like meh for if you went and you're so excited to see Serena Williams or this upcoming Canadian star. So I'll actually talk to this. I went to the Canadian Open a couple of years ago. It was men, and it was supposed to be in a perfect world. It was going to be Federer versus Milos Raonic.
Yeah.
And he lost to, I forget the, it was a Spanish guy's name. Lopez, probably.
Gasquet.
Feliciano Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Is that his name? Whatever. It doesn't matter. And in like a grueling, Milos Raonic lost him in a grueling quarterfinal match. And then whenever the guy went up against Federer, Federer just killed him in straight sets. And it was like, oh, this was, it was going to be a match made in heaven. So I can certainly empathize with the people who went to that game.
Yeah, just quickly.
So that match, I should say.
That match with the pulling out of Serena Williams lasted an hour and 16 minutes. Actually under the amount of time it took Rafael Nadal to beat the American, I think he played. Might have been American, might have been Russian. Regardless, he won 6-3, 6-0 in under an hour and 5 minutes.
Rafael Nadal did.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a full match that you got to see.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, boys. Last but certainly not least, kind of a neat story. Landry Jones, he's been a backup quarterback in the NFL. He was a star collegiate quarterback, but he was the first ever signing in the XFL. And notice I didn't say with the XFL's such and such, because the XFL, it's not going to be a rival to the NFL, but it's gonna be a football league that plays during the NFL's offseason. And what they're doing is they're signing 8 quarterbacks and assigning them to teams. And then from there, they'll hold a draft. But they wanted to ensure that they had 8 quote-unquote star quarterbacks that they could take to those teams. So have you guys seen anything about the XFL? And what are your initial thoughts on this as they kind of make their way into the news?
So I'm a big wrestling guy, and Vince McMahon's the one backing it. So I know a little bit about it here and there, and I've watched the old XFL, which was interesting. It's completely different from now, because I'm pretty sure now they're saying no domestic abuse people that are like whatever that.
Yeah, they're trying to create
a clean league.
Yes,
that took a while. Yeah. I like that, and I think it's because it's not going to be a rival to the NFL.
Correct.
Which is because no one's taking the NFL down.
No.
And I like that they have Oliver Luck, who he has his like backing with the league and stuff. Like, yeah, he knows how to run a league.
Yeah, he's their commissioner.
So yes. Like, I like that too, and then. You bring in a couple quarterbacks that you know the names of.
Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman couldn't cut it with the Montreal Alouettes, so I don't think he's going to the XFL.
Speaking of the Alouettes, though, Mark Trestman, their former coach, is a coach in the league.
Yeah, so is former Hamilton Tiger Cats head coach June Jones.
Yes. So I think it'll be an interesting league, and I know that they're experimenting, or not necessarily experimenting, but they're doing like focus groups and so on of things, little tiny rules. Teaser for the next part of our podcast that people don't like in the NFL and are and playing with little things like that. And so it'll be an interesting league to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that just about does it for the 2-minute drill. Thanks for staying with us. And coming up next, we are going to talk about some changes that we might want to see. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
Jeremy Collins here, a.k.a. Sports Fan Jer, on the Twitter and on the Instagram. Give it a follow. Here are my bets for the week. I'm doing a little bit of a Tampa Bay two-step here, I'm going to call it. I'm going to take 2 teams from Florida in the NFL preseason week 3 matchup. Preseason week 3 is kind of where the starters get a little bit more of a run. Jacksonville Jaguars are taking on the Miami Dolphins, so really I could go either way here. I'm going to take the points, though. I'm going Jacksonville Jaguars +3. And you can go ahead and combo that with Lee's favorite team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have your mic off, Lee. No one heard you. They're going to take on the Cleveland Browns. But I'm going to take the Bucs with the points. I like taking Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay-Cleveland was a toss-up for me. However, I think Tampa being at home is going to be the thing that changes. They're going to want to send the fans home happy with the win, regardless of it being preseason. That's my picks for the week, and you can lock them in.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Poor Sports Podcast. We've got a segment coming up here where we're going to look at some changes that we might want to see in the Big Four sports rules. So I'll just run down the rules, and then we're going to have a little discussion about that. How's that sound, gentlemen? That sound good?
I love it.
All right. So the first, and so just remember, these are hypothetical kind of changes. They're pretty out there. Okay, so
we like to have fun.
Yeah, we like to talk. So, starting off in the NBA, obviously, we would love to see a 4-point line. We figured it'd be something just inside of half court. For the MLB, instead of having endless extra innings, it goes to a home run derby instead. The NHL, scrap the offside rule. You can camp right beside the goalie if you want to. Scrap the offside rule. And finally, in the NFL, allowing forward passes once you're past the line of scrimmage. So, gentlemen, what do we feel about those proposed rule changes? Which ones do you like? Which ones do you hate? Which ones do you think actually make some sense? And which ones do you think are just so far out there? Jeremy, why don't you start us off here?
I do not like the forward pass thing, past the line of scrimmage. I think that just changes the game too much. It becomes not so much football. It becomes a different sport. Hockey, offside, I'd learn to be all right with it. It increased scoring for sure, and if that's what the NHL wants to do, then that's great. Baseball, I think the home run derby off, the hit off, whatever you're going to call it, would be very exciting for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I think then it would kind of come the same way as the NHL shootout, where now we found something that's even better at 3v3 overtime, at least in my opinion, where fans are sick to death of the shootout. But for the first 2 years, it was something super neat to watch.
Are fans sick to death of the shootout? I like the shootout.
I hate the shootout.
I like the shootout.
I hate having a game decided on a shootout.
All right, we're not going to get into that.
And,
but
then the fourth one's the 4-point line, which I think with like how good everyone's becoming at shooting the ball, I think that's going to be a necessary evil at some point. So, do you want my pick right now, or do we...
No, we can just talk.
What's your thought? Because maybe it'll convince me otherwise of what I have in my head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to kind of just go the reverse way that Jeremy went. The NBA 4-point line, I'm agreeing with Jeremy. I think it's coming. I just think the way people are shooting, and it will add an extra element, maybe an extra strategy, that type of thing, right? Home run derby instead of extra innings. I could like this if they tweak it. Like, because what happens if you get to the playoffs, you get to, like, Game 7 of the World Series, and all of a sudden, instead of extra innings where, like, you feel like you got to play to win it, it's just, like, whoever has the best bomb guy.
I feel as though, the home run derby you'd have to look at a little bit, but I don't think come playoff time you would have the home run derby.
Similar
to how the NHL doesn't do... Never,
3-on-3.
It's just hockey at that point. It would be just baseball at that point.
Like I said, I like the home run derby. It's kind of cool just because all of a sudden, like I said, when we were talking earlier... The Rays, Tigers, 0-0 through 12 innings. I just need something. I need a ball to leave the field somewhere, man. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I just need something.
Yep.
NHL, no offside. I really like that. I think that'd be cool. It'd be interesting, like, how you could run plays and that type of stuff. Like, it just changed. I think it'd be, like, a pretty big change all of a sudden in the game.
What was it, the AAF, how when they were getting called plays, they had fans called a couple plays?
Oh, yeah, I think that was, yeah.
That's like something else that like you could say like home field, your fans get to call one game or one play.
I feel like that takes away all home field advantage. Yeah. But anyway,
it's gonna be Hail Mary flea flicker like every trick play you ever thought of. And then allowing four passes past the line of scrimmage. Preseason, let it happen in preseason.
Preseason,
yeah, that's just like the guinea pig. Just let them have fun in preseason.
Nope.
What about you, Jake?
I think the 4-point line in the NBA, I think it might come at some point. I think that's like a legitimate thing. But I think that it would be something that would only be used in late game scenarios and things like that.
So
right?
They wouldn't have it to start and all of a sudden the fourth.
No. I mean, from a strategic point of view, yeah. I can't see an NBA team like running plays to go get Steph Curry a 4-pointer. You know, depending on how far back it is, he might shoot one, you know, here or there as an actual set, but I can't see it happening. I could see it happening if you're down 4 points
yep.
or at the end of a game, you know, at the end of a half,
yep.
you're going to go for four.
In a situation where you're behind the 4-point line and you get fouled and you kind of like,
imagine hitting an and one four.
Yeah, does that make a 4+1?
Yeah,
I would assume so, yeah. Yeah, it would.
So, I wouldn't guard them at 4-point line. I'm just leaving them almost.
You're leaving them and you're just getting ready to rebound. Right?
I think that would be the strategy behind that,
yep. The home run derby instead of extra innings, honestly, I love that. I love that. Maybe play the 10th inning and see what you can do. Maybe instead you start, you play one inning.
International standard?
What's that? Sorry.
So like you could do like the 10th inning where like a runner starts on second.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. The 10th inning, or maybe the 10th inning's normal, 11th inning, runner starts at second, and then the 12th inning, home run derby.
Yeah.
Right? And however you want to structure that home run derby, whatever, but it's exciting and you are leaving it in the hands of baseball for two extra innings. So it's enough time. I don't know. I actually really like that. NHL and NFL for me, those two, I personally don't like them. I think it changes the game completely. No offside in the NHL. That changes like the whole neutral zone. That changes defensive coverages. That drastically changes.
We just did that in our lifetime with the two-line pass, getting rid of that.
Sure, but...
And it was for the better.
It was for the better, but I think the two-line pass, I think it's a little bit different. Sure, you're talking about fruit, but it's apples and oranges, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's a big, big, big difference. Right? And four passes past the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy. It would change the game completely. It would add a really cool wrinkle. And we're actually talking off the pod about this, about maybe so that you can pass forward as long as you're not past the first down. Marker.
Brady to Edelman to Gordon.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd be interesting, and you could see some very creative plays, and you know that you'd have some NFL coaches that would come in and they would be running that stuff, and it would be amazing to watch. You'd have others who would, no, we're not doing that. That's risky. It's stupid.
The defensive coverage would go bananas.
Yes. Yes. And you might see some more interceptions. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But, save that for those spinoffs. Like, save that for the AAF or the XFL.
What about the Pro Bowl or something like
that? Or the Pro Bowl or something like that. That's actually a great idea. So, Jeremy, what's one that you actually would like to see if you had to be one, and one that you say, no way?
So, no way is the NFL one.
Okay.
Changes the game completely and ruins fantasy football, because then I have to have Julian Edelman on my team because he was like quarterback in high school or whatever.
Odell too.
Yeah. So I'm getting rid of that one. And then if I were to have picked one for the next 5 years, I'd pick the home run derby. I'm not, though. I'm going to go long term, and I think it'd be for the better health of the game. Get rid of the offsides. More goals, more fun. Let's go hockey. Woo.
Okay.
I'm going to double up with Jeremy and take, I don't like the NFL. The rule change there, I just think it changes the game too much, and I think it'd be wild, maybe in the preseason, whatever. And I'm going to go boring, and I'm going to take the MLB home run derby. Not, I guess, boring, because we're making it more exciting. As I like it when you were explaining it, stable, I like go 10, go 11, like try to figure out where baseball is the reason why you win. But then, like, nobody wants to be at a baseball place for 19 innings.
No.
Because it's 0-0. Or, like, it's rare when you see, like, 1-1, you match, right? Like, most times you're just watching another baseball game at 0-0,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that's then,
like,
just it.
You're just, like, you're almost just waiting for a player to come and pitch. You're like, hey, this is what it's worth for. Ryan
cool.
Gomes pitching. Woo!
Yeah.
Right? That's sure. pretty much what you're, like, waiting for. Mm-hmm. What about you, Jake?
I'm going to go no offside with the NHL. It's something that I don't want to see. I don't want to see that. I think that it completely disrupts the game, and I think you'd have guys cherry picking down at the other end, and you'd.
I think Patrick Laine's value goes way up with that.
Yeah. Well, Ovechkin could be up there too.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to
leave his own early. He just sit down there, right? And sure, like you know, it would add an interesting strategy, but not something that I think I would want to see. I think that it kind of takes away from the whole, like you know, whole rink. right? Being able to play both ends. And something that I like, or something that I genuinely see, I'll go with the 4-point line. I think that that's something that's neat. I think that as range expands more and more and more, I would want it so that that line is barely inside half. So that if you're going to stand out there and shoot a four pointer, you're really like not a part of you. You don't need to be guarded. If I'm a defender,
it's not a part of a team player.
Yeah,
anything.
Yeah. It's just sort
that's
of like
hero ball.
Yeah, it's sort of something that you'd really have to. You know, guys would work at it, obviously. So, but I think it'd be an interesting, you know, step for the game.
What's the 3-on-3 league called in the NBA? The Big Three?
The Big Three. It's a spinoff.
So,
yeah.
So don't they have like a hot spot?
They have
on the court?
They have a couple hot spots that are 4-pointers. Yeah.
What do you think about? Like,
I think that's pretty gimmicky. I think it's a way to get people into the game because it's still not that far. Mm-hmm. Like that's like seriously like Steph Curry range. It's not that far, right? We see guys hit threes from there, like. Every single game in the NBA. So
if it was up to you with this 4-point line thing, how many 4-point shots would you see over the course of a game?
I honestly don't think you'd see many like sort of normal shots, 4-point shots. I think it'd be something like, oh, the clock's running down and we're, you know, they're really, really pressuring us on D or something like that, or they've stole the ball and we've, you know, kind of a scramble like that and you pull up and shoot one, or you know, late game scenarios, you're shooting it from, you might see a guy instead of taking one extra dribble to get a little bit further in with like 2 seconds left in a quarter or a half, he pulls up from the 4-point line instead, right? That's what I think you might see. But I don't think you'd see that many, and it'd be in those scenarios. But we never thought we'd see a ton of 3-pointers in the NBA either, and now that's pretty much all you see. So it'd be interesting to see. Anyways, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. Yeah.
We went a little long on everything, so mm-hmm.
maybe we were gone 2 weeks though, so we can give the fans a little bit longer,
yeah. a little bit extra time. No home run derby here needed here though.
Yeah. thanks very much for sticking with us this week. Thanks for listening to the Poor Sports Podcast. We love every single second that we do with you all.
Huge
thank
thanks
you so
for
much.
How you guys. What you guys did with the Dotchin interview, you guys loved that one. We loved it.
Absolutely. If you haven't heard that one, go give it a listen. We have a interview with NHL and St. Louis Blues defenseman Jake Dotchin. That's our last podcast. Remember, you can find us on Apple and Spotify and really anywhere that you look for podcasts. And follow us on Poor_Sports. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to meet with y'all here next week on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports. Poor Sports.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You didn't think you were going to get rid of me that fast, did you? I didn't get my 2 cents in on the bets. So hopefully my 2 cents will win you a couple of cents, maybe a couple of dollars even. So this week, I want you to take Chelsea versus Norwich just on the money line. And I want you to parlay that with Man United over Crystal Palace. I really like Chelsea. You know, they're kind of the laughingstock of the Premiership right now, but I think that they're due for a win. And I think that playing against Norwich, I think that that will be a favorable matchup for them. Next, Man United versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace hasn't scored a goal yet this year. And Man United, you know, it's the Premiership. You take those big six teams more often than not. So I want you to parlay both of those games together. Right now, that's listed at +150. So hopefully that'll win you some money. Thanks a lot for listening, and you can find me on Instagram at jkelly22 and, of course, on Poor Sports at poor_sports.